Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of Steel Wars is brought to you by Movement Watches. To get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns, go to mvmt.com/Steel Wars.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
As well as the Making Star Wars Podcast Network. This episode of Steel Wars features occasional coarse language. If you're around sensitive ears, move along. This is not the Steel Wars episode you are looking for. There are, however, many other family-friendly, clean episodes on our iTunes feed or steelwars.com. Hey, you guys. Welcome to Steel Wars. I'm comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars! Yeah! We are back live in Melbourne. I was very excited. You guys see on Twitter or social media, whatever, Rian Johnson has finished The Last Jedi. Like, totally. Sealed. In the can, as they say in Hollywood. I hear people... I'm like wake up every morning, I can just hear people walk past talking about the things they've put in the can. And apparently it's a show business term and it means the film is finished. But he finished it 3 months early, making him Star Wars director's mature age student. We have got two of my pals here to talk Star Wars, very talented comedians. So how about we bring them up and have a chat, you guys? Please welcome from the only video game podcast I have ever listened to, from the Filthy Casuals, it's Adam Knox! Yeah. Our next guest he's achieved a lot. It's been good, but none of his achievements, they all pale into the fact that he somehow got our friend Ben Russell into the headrest of a Virgin Airlines,
the headrest or the overhead locker?
In the TV.
In the TV? What are you talking about?
In the entertainment system.
Oh, like he filmed him?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant he literally squished him in.
No. But he's in there.
Okay.
And much to my surprise, like 12 hours into a flight, somehow enabled Ben Russell to get in the headrest and drop the C word.
Really?
Yes. Coruscant. No, the other one. The other one. So please welcome from Auntie Donna, it's Mark.
I still don't understand that story. I know we have to move on. I know podcasting.
No, we don't.
I just want you to know
I was flying to America one time and...
Yeah, we all do stuff, mate.
Yeah. And the Auntie Donna sketch series, 1999, was in the entertainment...
Oh, and he's the little English gentleman in that. He's like, "Hey," and then the, you know, Dickensian boy.
Yeah, Sir Wiggle Snatch.
And he says the C word in that.
Yeah, he does. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a very good point.
And yeah, just the fact that he was doing it at this high altitude over international waters, I was like, what an achievement.
We sat down once, we're flying back from America. And there were these...
We all do stuff, right?
Have you ever been on a... You don't like flying, do you?
I don't like flying, but I've done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you let people pressure you into things, Noxy?
I love seeing people say the C word, and it's the only place I can do it.
Yeah, right.
Now.
But we're flying back from America.
I'm out of Knox, and I like to stay put.
My favorite, because when they play it, when someone says the C word on the TV in a plane, if someone gets offended and wants to complain, they can't go anywhere. They just have to stand up and go, "Did you hear it? I'm leaving eventually."
It's yeah, and you go complain, and you have to go, "Listen to this," and you have to go through the menu and then page.
It's going to come on again in 2 hours.
Yes. Oh, that is old school.
Yeah, I haven't been on a plane for a while.
Are you old enough to make that reference?
Well, the last time I was on a plane where they played stuff and I bothered to, like, because you have to pay for it now for your little iPad and whatever a lot of the time. So I don't. I never do it.
Not international, mate.
Well, international.
Who are you flying with? You got to get on that Virgin,
I'm
man.
I'm flying with whatever the cheapest available ticket. I'm pretty sure I was in a horse-drawn plane once. I'm in old planes. Yeah.
Noxy's no stranger to Avalon Airport.
Avalon would be a dream. I'm going from Moorabbin Airport in a plane where, like, the pilot prays before he gets in.
Buddy Holly Airline.
But, yeah, it's fuck flying. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan either. But you know, you got to do it.
I always, especially with the live ones, I toe the line, and then I let the guests decide if it's going to have an explicit rating or not. And you've made your decision.
I've put it there.
That little red E just showed up on iTunes in advance.
I hate it when people clap at the end of a flight as well. This is like
we do it on purpose.
I hate it because it's like admitting it could have gone wrong.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like when you,
the best thing to do is we clap and then we stop and look around to see who's clapping so that no one thinks it's because that's the best thing to do.
Have you ever called for an encore?
What do you mean?
Just like get back up there, buddy. Do it again.
No, that would be... I've never had to do that. That's the most terrifying. That's what I'm terrified of, are those the ones that come in and then the landing is just like, nah! And then they go straight back up. I never want that to happen because that would be awful.
Well, if you clapped hard enough, like you land from, you know, LA to Melbourne, big clap, and then he's like, the pilot comes back out and takes you to Geelong. Just a bit of extra gear, you know.
That'd be sweet. That's the dream.
Now... Mark, I'm not sure if you know about your secret Star Wars connection.
No, maybe I don't.
Have you seen the film Rogue One?
Yes, I have seen that movie.
Okay.
That's a hell of a connection.
Oh, Noxy. All right, wait there. I've got to get this photo. All right.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I think it's might be my favorite one. Of them.
Really?
Wow. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
Did you know Mark was in it?
Oh, there he is!
Excuse me?
Look at you!
Oh, right. Yeah, someone has sent that to me before. I look like one of the extras. He's just an extra in it, isn't he?
No, he talks!
Does he? I don't know. I didn't like it.
Pass it around.
Hey, Zach! Do you reckon we'll be able to fly this plane? They're called planes in Star Wars, right? Also... That was my Mark impression.
That was brilliant.
I can do Broden better.
Can you?
Yeah. How about that bloody Star Wars film?
Mm. I guess we all decide for ourselves what's better and what's worse.
I reckon that's pretty. That was pretty good.
Thank you. It's my only impression.
Have you ever done a Star Wars sketch or reference in your sketch comedy troupe, Auntie Donna?
Yeah, no, we haven't. We haven't really done a. Maybe we've done a reference. I don't know, but it might be deep. But I don't think so. No, we've only ever done one. We did a Dungeons and Dragons sketch once, and that was it. It was fine.
I don't like when sketches are too nerdy for me to even.
Yeah, use. Yeah. Oh, we made it pretty accessible. Don't worry.
It's just a different thing. We haven't done a Star Wars sketch, but we did one about oranges once.
Right, have you ever done any Star Wars gear, Noxy?
Good question. If I had a better memory, I could answer that question accurately. But genuinely, I don't remember 90% of my jokes, and neither does anyone who I've told them to. So... I don't think you're ever going to find out. I feel like I must have mentioned Star Wars at some point in my life.
I tried to do a Star Wars fan fiction once for fan fiction comedy, and it was just all about Luke getting a space boner. That was the joke over Leia, and it was awful. It wasn't very. It got that kind of reaction, but it's like it was because when I went in and I did something about Star Wars, and all the fan fiction people were like, "Oh, really?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Oh, we've never had anyone do Star Wars before." It's like, why? And they're like, because it's too big. It's too, they're like, I think most guests are too intimidated by the grandness of it. And I think it is hard. It's like, but a lot of people do it. Like, I love like the Robot Chicken Star Wars stuff and the Family Guy stuff. I love when people take the piss out of it.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
I think maybe what they were referring to is, or what I think, it's been so mined for comedy.
Yeah.
Over 40 years. And like, you know, Robot Chicken, some of those like bits are just like, well, there's no jokes left.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's very, very true.
And but, you know, sure, no one has introduced space boner, but you are breaking new ground.
I'm the best.
Yeah. You are the Louis C.K. of space incest.
Goddamn right I am.
Congratulations. But so what happened? What did Luke do with his space boner, dare
I don't remember. This is like 3 years ago, man.
I'm imagining it was stuff of like when it went up, it went and things like that, right?
Oh, that's way better than anything that was in
it. Really?
I should have collabed with Noxie.
That's what I'm always saying about every project ever.
I like that you've had such a crazy 3 years that standing in front of a room of people talking about Luke Skywalker's space boner just doesn't even make the memory
anymore. You'd be surprised how small the audience was.
No, I wouldn't. Noxie, here's a question a bit out of the blue.
Okay.
You're in Jabba's palace, right?
Yep. Oh, no.
And he needs to be entertained.
Shit.
He looks over to you. Salacious Crumb's giving him nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Adam Knox, do your comedy. What sort of bit do you open with?
Boy, you seen these fucking Mandalorians they got these days, and then it's a bit racist. immediately went racial.
Do you think in Jabba's palace, as a stand-up, you can cross the line?
I think with some specific races, you'd be like, working blue at Jabba's palace would be fine, I feel like.
Yeah, they're a pretty open-minded lot.
I feel like they would be. He's a mob boss, essentially. So it'd be if I had to do...
You just couldn't make any hut jokes. It'd be that
exactly.
Thing. It'd be like doing gear at the Lithuanian club. So you can do whatever you want. Just do not mention Soviet Russia.
Exactly.
You know, that's a rule. They've got it written on the walls in the Lithuanian
Jakob
club.
Yakov Smirnoff does corner. Terribly.
And
there.
That crossed off so much of my set.
We had to rewrite half our show. It was crazy.
I think I'd just immediately go like, no, feed me to the thing, feed me to the Rancor, I'm done. This, I maybe try and play one of the instruments.
Yeah, you wouldn't sacrifice your artistic integrity. I'm not changing my gear for you, just feed me.
So you'd fall into that trap. You know, like sometimes you do stand up at a venue and there's like a piano on stage.
Yeah.
And it's there for some other show and it's irresistible, the pull to go over to the piano and just start playing and just trying to come up with something. That's so much. So you get off stage, go over to Max Rebo's circular little piano thing and just start.
100%. I would like do that classic thing of when you don't really know how to open, saying like, I demanded, I'm glad they got my rider because I demanded that I'm not going to perform unless it's on a platform above of a deadly monster and with like 30 machines going bronk like that. And, you know, that's the noise they make.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do well. I think we're clearly finding out as this goes on. I would be much too insanely terrified of death.
Oh,
it's one of my biggest fears.
What a nightmare it would be.
The other ones?
pretty much just things that lead to death. I don't like spiders. Or that's about it.
Right.
I'm spiders a pretty brave guy.
Yeah.
What about spiders in a plane?
That's probably fine because I feel like they're in my world. There, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like I can fuck a spider up on a plane, but it's when they're hidden on a tree. I was at my pants are muddy. I was at a bushfire party yesterday.
Bushfire party.
Not a bushfire, a bonfire.
Okay, I was like,
yeah, sorry.
I was going to say,
take that community's houses.
No, A bushfire party is like a really good bonfire party if it gets out of hand. But so we had a big old bonfire. And we were like, let's push down another tree to put into it because there were all these dead trees.
I love Australian culture.
It was there were these two people from Argentina there who'd only been here for like 2 weeks. And they were like,
this is unfolding like a Tarantino film.
Man. Yeah.
It's just layers and layers and layers.
Anyway, we pushed a tree over and I touched a spider briefly and it fucking freaked me out. The ending of that story, much worse than the beginning.
What did the Argentinians have to do with any of that?
Nothing. They were just like, oh, Australia's weird. Just to give it some context.
What about you? You're scheduled to do the gig at Jabba's Palace, right?
Yeah.
They haven't promoted it very well. And
don't imagine they would, yeah.
People are there, they're watching on the TV, they're watching all the pod races.
Yeah.
And then you have to do, like, they turn off the pod races and you have to jump up.
This is too real. Like, I know what I would do because I've been in this situation just without aliens there, and I would do poorly.
Is there anything worse than you have to do, like you go on, they've done a guerrilla gig.
Yeah.
They haven't told anyone in the venue there's going to be comedy on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh yeah, the footy's on, we'll just switch that off. And next up, the comedy stylings of Not Football
it's
Guy.
It's awful, man. I did a gig in Morwell recently, which is the Tatooine of Victoria. And this is like a few months ago, and there was one guy in the room, and we were like, there were three of us. So we had to do it because, you know, you've been booked to do it, and there's money, and they've given you a shit meal and blah, blah, blah. And so you walk up. The meal was actually fine. But anyway, you walk up on the...
Tell us more about the meal.
He was...
Noxy, hard but fair.
He was watching racing, some form of racing. I can't remember if they were bikes or cars or people. Mm-hmm. It was, but the goal was to be quick. And unlike my goal, which is to meander through this story. Anyway, one dude, and they walked up and in front of him, like, turned the TV off and went, now there's comedy. Literally, he said, now there's comedy. And I walked up and I was emceeing and I said, yes, there is, baby. And fucked around for a bit. And anyway, he went and had a cigarette.
That's how Letterman used to bring him up.
Yeah.
That's brutal. That's like, sometimes we get introduced on, like the MC will come out and people goes, hey, who here likes sketch comedy? And then it's just dead.
Yeah.
Because no one even is sure what that means exactly anymore.
There's one guy who's been in a coma since 1972. Yeah. He's like, yeah, me!
I love it! That's brutal. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And
hey, man,
okay.
Now I'm feeling good because I'm here at the lovely Club Voltaire doing Steel Wars.
Nice.
Kind of a prick.
Well, at Jabba's Palace, they could just switch it off and go, who likes racially provocative Gamorrean comedy? Adam Knox.
Yeah, I do like a striptease like that dude. That's what the other fat dude in that movie. I think that's the only fat guy in Star Wars. The guy who's in Jabba's Palace sort of shaking his belly around.
Oh, yeah.
I just had that thought. That thought just occurred to me.
That was a woman.
Is it?
Yeah.
But then the guy who owns the Rancor is
a fat big
dude
he's
too.
A big boy too.
There's only fat people in Jabba's palace in all of those movies.
Maybe they just couldn't get him in until
and Jabba himself.
Oh, the Jedi, like they had to wait three movies in. To be well, guys, we're not.
That's a fun fact.
All right, I'm reviewing this. So yeah, I think the man that you're saying is shaking his belly is Gamora, the six-breasted woman.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right as well. Strangely enough, the six breasts weren't my most memorable thing about that particular character.
Look at the belly on that guy.
Yeah, there's no one else big because I'm a big boy.
You're a beautiful boy.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right. What about in the? I assume you've seen Star Wars: A New Hope, the original film.
No, that's the only one I haven't seen. No, yeah, I've seen.
What about Porkins?
Porkins. His name's even Porkins. Yeah, okay. There's three, which is the maximum amount.
All right. Has anyone else got any Star Wars fat guys?
Dexter
Jetster. Yeah, which one's... but CGI flab doesn't count, I don't think.
Oh, the chef guy? The Yeah. That's but he might be thin for whatever species he is.
Oh, good point. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you judgmental prick.
Because if you're bringing aliens into it, there's a lot of bigger aliens. There's the one that Simon Pegg plays. He's a bit of a big boy.
Oh, yeah. He's had a few bloody...
I'm what? Having sketch flashback when you said he's a bit of a big boy.
He is a bit of a big boy. I don't know. I can't remember that name. What is it? Something.
Uncle Plot.
You're fucked. that's ridiculous, man.
All right. Let's take it way back, you guys. What is your first memory of Star Wars, Noxy?
VHS is taped off of the TV from the 80s by my auntie, Catherine. Hello, Catherine. You're not listening. She's dead. No, she's not. she's fine.
She died of copyright infringement.
And she, I had them off of her and my cousins. And so, honestly, my early memories of Star Wars are completely inextricable from memories of, like, Tarago ads. And like when the river runs dry, all that sort of like maybe early 90s Australian ads like that. And so I watched those VHSs a lot, and I think they didn't have certain bits of the movie too. So I don't think it was until like... I guess I saw it in the cinema as well. You didn't say all of my memory up to the current day, did you?
I implied it.
And then the movies came out and I watched them. And then I really liked The Phantom Menace when that came out because I was like 10 and not particularly judgmental. And I've changed.
Let me ask you this. So you loved it when you saw it when you were 10.
Yeah.
And I assume by your negative tone that you like it less now.
I watched not that long ago, I guess before The Force Awakens came out, the, what are they called? The no cheese ones? You know what I mean?
I like the Phantom edit.
Yeah. But I think it was specifically called no cheese. Mm. On.
It sounds like the worst pizza ever.
Yeah. And they, I enjoyed that more than anyone else in the room. that made it, but it was, as time went on, it was the bits trying to be funny in those movies that started to bother me more than the overall, because I still think they look really good in terms of the design of and everything. The CGI's kind of aged more than one might have thought it would at the time.
Mm. Yeah, because I sort of think that it's like seeing it then, because like when I wonder if I saw Return of the Jedi, like if Return of the Jedi came out now. It's my favorite film of all time. It's the greatest thing ever projected onto a white bit of wall. Oh yeah. So good. But I wonder if now, if I watch it for the first time, like all like the bits that people don't like that much would stand out. Because when you're a kid, you don't like all like you're not even like kids, they shouldn't even be judging films. They should just be happy that they're there.
That's my thing about Jedi, man, is like it was my favorite movie growing up as a kid, right? And then I got older and started to really hate it. Just like despised it. I was just like, fucking stupid, man. Fucking Ewoks, another Death Star. Fuck you, right? It made me mad. And then I just thought about it. I was like, why do I hate it so much now? Like, I remember I used to love it so much. And as a kid, that you have to switch your adult brain off, because as a kid, that movie has fucking everything, man. Like, it doesn't matter if there's another Death Star. That's fine. It's got little teddy bears fuck up an empire. Like, that's amazing. When you're a kid, that's a beautiful thing to see, and it's really fun and interesting. And you just got to kind of... I have to switch my adult brain off to enjoy that movie.
It's weird because, like, in a movie thing, like having the second Death Star and then again having essentially the third Death Star in The Force Awakens...
Yeah.
When you're watching it as a moviegoer, it's like, oh, this is just a rehash. Mm. But I was watching a video with, do you remember Max Landis?
No.
He
directed some movies.
Yeah. And he's a very...
he did a really good video about wrestling called Wrestling Isn't Wrestling that I really like.
Yeah. And he's the son of John Landis, that directed The American Werewolf in London.
Right.
And so he's a screenwriter and he's a director and he's a very opinionated Star Wars fan. Mm. And he's very polarizing because he was one of the people that came out and said Rey was a Mary Sue. And because he's got this big platform, you know, people get very upset about that. I was watching a video of his today, and he was talking about while in the movie-going experience, having another Death Star, you know, isn't that original. But if you're a fascist and you've built a Death Star and it gets blown up, like, it is a probable thing to go back and go, I'll just build one twice as big.
Totally.
That'll,
yeah.
That'll fucking show everyone.
If yeah, you, if yeah, you yeah. have a fucking gun and you miss a shot, you don't go, oh, well, guns don't work. You don't build another gun. You shoot the same gun again. But yeah, I completely agree with that, that a Death Star is a good plan. As long as you build it right. And the second time they were trying to build it right. And the third time it was a planet. The third one's a bit lamer. But the yeah, I agree with that, that in the world it makes sense for them to just go, yeah, do it again.
Yeah. Oh, I've just thought of a good reality show idea.
Yeah.
It's like planet renovation. So there's four teams. They each get a planet.
693 episodes in a series.
Yeah.
Just going around an entire planet going, oh my God, the fucking kitchen's so big. Oh, this is going to take forever.
Yeah, when you have one, you have, oh, we're just going to install some moisture evaporators and get some water. And then, like, you've got Kylo Ren that's just like, oh, I'm gonna build a big super laser in the middle of it. It's going to fuck some shit up. It's going to be awesome. It'd be a good show.
Yeah.
Just a thought. What about you, Mark? What's your first memory of Star Wars?
I really fell in love with Star Wars and remember seeing Star Wars for the first time when I was 9 and they were re-released in the cinemas for the special editions. So I got to fall in love with Star Wars at the cinemas, which was awesome. I still remember being at Werribee 10 Cinemas, real shithole. It's a bit nicer now, but and seeing like A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi all up on the board with the session times and stuff, that image is just like burnt into my head. So yeah, seeing them when I was 9 at the movies was like incredible.
Yeah, as a child of the 80s, like during when Star Wars had died off,
yeah,
they used to show all three of them during the school holidays at once.
Oh wow!
Not at once.
No, that would be
weird.
In a row.
But
just layered on top of it.
I saw an art installation, inverted commas, in New York, and it was all three of them just playing. That was the installation. It was just like, you watch them all at once.
Cool.
It just sounds like rich guy in 92.
At some point, you're just watching whichever the longest one is, too. Like towards the end of that art installation, you're just watching the longest film, last couple of minutes.
We have a winner. This weird thing I remember loving as a kid was that I went into the cinema in the morning and then when I came out, it was nighttime. And I found that magical.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, it's night now. I did not see that coming.
How does it even happen? What wizardry is this?
What made you fall in love with it?
I guess just sort of the I really love the design and the look and the junkyard sort of visceral feel of the early movies, and I think I just really fell in love with that, like just the way that and this, you know, this the epic story and the It's the Return of the Jedi does have some of my favorite scenes ever. Like I said, it was my favorite as a kid. And the lightsaber fight between Vader and Luke, I remember the first time seeing that in the movies, and it just blew my dick off. And I was young.
Say goodbye to space bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard to put a finger on what's so... Because now I love almost everything other than the movies. The movies are just sort of one thing that I like, and I'm more into like the comics and buying action figures and stuff like that. I fell in love with the novels quite intensely for a little while.
Yeah, that's like the video games for me early on were like a big thing. I didn't really separate the two. Because the 90s, as much as Star Wars had died for that, that was big for Star Wars video games. And I may have even found out about Star Wars through them before seeing the movies. I have no way of telling you.
So is there a chance in your life that when you watched like Empire Strikes Back for the first time, that you went, Han Solo, what a Dash Rendar ripoff?
Possibly. Not only was I a kid who experienced the video games first, but I was also stupid and didn't understand chronology. But they were always really... I think that's part of why I like Phantom Menace as well, because there was like a PlayStation 1 Phantom Menace game that I liked. That again, in retrospect, is probably awful.
Yeah, the PC, the PC movie game was awful, but I played the shit out of it, man. I loved it so much.
I'm a super Star Wars guy. The side scrolling
is so hard. Yeah. Oh. That is so hard, that game. I've got it on my PlayStation 4 and it's brutality. Like, it's how I used to get through. I used to get this was only like a couple of years ago as well, and just get the emulator at work and just not work and just try and get past the first level. I could never do it.
The first level?
It's fucking bullshit, man. It's so hard. It's unfairly hard. It's not okay.
I would love to
think... What is it?
That you're in your office playing this video game, having that conversation with yourself.
I'm just and
we're going to lighten up
bullets.
On Mark's workload.
Every time I got a phone call and I was in the middle of a thing, I'd be like, it fucking hit the phone. Like, what? I was just so mad. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It really upsets me thinking about it. I really like stress. It stresses me out, that game. Well, I want to know what the second level is, man. Yeah. I just want to know. I don't know.
I finished that game when I was a child.
Yeah, brutal.
Guys, if you are continually looking down at the bare skin on your wrist and wishing you knew the time, Movement Watches could be for you. The company was started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So they started their own watch company and have gone on to sell over 1 million watches worldwide. The Movement Watches start at just $95. And we're talking department store quality that you'd normally be looking for maybe about $500 to $600. But by buying direct from mvmt.com/steelwars, you cut out the middleman, retail markup, and get the best possible price. Guys, I'm super stoked that a great brand like Movement is getting behind Steel Wars and supporting our ongoing production. So if you are in the market for a watch, we've got Christmas coming up and maybe you want to get a special someone a sweet, sweet present and get a good deal along the way. There's both men's and women's options and you can get 15% off today plus free shipping. And if you change your mind, free returns, which is super handy. You just need to go to mvmt.com/steelwars. Who's your character, Noxie?
My favorite Star Wars character, or like, who? What am I like?
Are you a goofball? Are you kind of like...
this is kind of boring, but I guess it's Han Solo.
Boo.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
he's real good looking. And he was always just like the fun one in the movies. I always thought Luke was a bit of a nerd. And Han was kind of more interesting. I don't think I even really like any of the characters other than him.
Brutal. <That's,
laughs> wow.
Well, a bunch of dicks.
That fuck. Hurts. I don't know why, but I'm upset by that.
No, I don't know. It's never really been a question for me, I guess. He's just like the coolest one. And so...
I never thought how good looking he was until like when I did the interview with him and he's standing in front of me and I was just in my head like trying to remember what to say, but also you know, you just got all these different voices. I was looking at him going, fuck me.
Yeah.
This dude.
Oh, I thought you just were finishing it. Fuck me.
That's what I told him. More of a request.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite movie ever, and so I think just I like Harrison Ford enough that any character he plays in a movie is my favorite character in that movie a lot of the time.
Who's your favorite character in Air Force One?
Yeah.
Probably Gary Oldman.
What's your favorite in the Mosquito Coast?
Probably Scrimmonger. I don't know that question. I don't know what that question means. Oh, is that a film that Harrison Ford's in?
Exactly.
I thought it was an area in Star Wars that I wasn't aware of.
I was tossing between the two. I wouldn't have been surprised at either.
Yeah, that actually would be a good planet.
I've never seen the Mosquito Coast.
Don't. Because I remember, because when Star Wars ended and you got the late 80s and you're gagging for anything. Like, just anything that was sort of like it. Like, whenever, I remember that film Stargate.
Right.
with
Kurt Russell was in it, and what's his name, James Spader.
And when they said this is the new Star Wars, like one of the reviews they had in the ads, I was like, fuck yeah, new Star Wars. I'm driving to Melbourne. I'm going to see this thing.
Mm.
It wasn't.
I hate that fucking movie, man. White savior bullshit. He goes to, like, not only does he save, like, a woman of, you know, another race, she is also, like, they had to make her enough of another race that she was literally an alien to be like, and then the white guy comes along. It's Pocahontas bullshit.
Oh, right. Movie.
And here's the platform to take a stand.
But so... So you're just like gagging for anything that was remotely Star Wars. So, you know, anything that Harrison Ford was in was, you know, pretty, you know, of course, all the Indiana Jones films.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. Air Force One was pretty good.
Witness is good.
The Fugitive is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So I would just, you know, any Harrison Ford film, I'm on board.
Yeah.
But then I remember copping the Mosquito Coast and just going, there's no action or adventure.
Was it just a dialogue drama?
Just Harrison Ford standing on a beach slapping himself. Ah, God damn it. Ah. I should have known when I read the brochure with the name in it.
He gets malaria and he just dies. It's a pretty long movie. It's pretty boring.
Well, you think they would petition, the locals would petition to change the name?
I guess so. We've got some shit like... Oh, no, it's called Sydney now. I was going to say, what about Shark Bay? But that's Sydney, isn't it? Where do we live?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mark, what about you? What's your favourite character?
At the moment, I would say Dr. Aphra.
Ooh, that's a deep cut.
Yeah. I'm pretty obsessed with the Solo comic series.
Okay, maybe, do you know...
Yeah, I'm not aware
maybe
of...
Maybe explain for...
Genuinely, for a second, you know how, like, Dr. Acula shows up and it's like, but he's a vampire. And I was like, oh, that's weird that there's a vampire. But never mind. Drafra isn't a vampire.
Thanks for that, Adam.
Who's Dr. You're welcome.
She's a badass archaeologist. Right.
Okay, I like this so far. Yeah, as a fan of Raiders of Lost Ark.
And she worked... with Vader for a little bit in the first solo Darth Vader series. That's where I believe she was introduced. I'm sorry if I'm wrong there, but I believe that's where she was introduced. Ding. And then she had her own. She's got her own sort of series now, just Dr. Aphra, and she's just floating around in the Star Wars universe, trying to make her own way. And she's kind of like a more hardcore Han Solo, like gives less of a fuck about anyone other than herself. She's got a, I can't remember their names. If anyone knows, please tell me. She's got a C-3PO R2-D2 equivalent that follow her around, but they're all black and they are mass murderers.
Okay.
They are like obsessed with just killing people and cutting people up and torturing other beings and stuff. So that's real fun. And she's got a Wookiee that...
Mark,
yeah.
I beg to differ. I hate that black droid.
Really?
Which...
Whoa.
Whoa.
this shit'll fly at Jabba's palace, but not here. I don't want to hear any of that.
I hate that droid that just happens to be black.
Right.
Sounds worse.
I just don't like his brand of comedy.
Oh, really?
All. Yeah.
I think it works really well just in sort of juxtaposition to everything else that's going on. I've never seen that in Star Wars before.
What sort of... Is it the sort of thing... Because I remember in Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, which is a long name for... It was an RPG game, and there was a character that you get in your group of people called HK something. He was another... C-3PO type.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was very much a mass murdering type of person who'd be like, you know, he's calling you a meatbag and saying he wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
That sort of a thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And there's a R2-D2 as well that's like, not called R2-D2, but is just as badass and stuff. And then a Wookiee as well that goes around with them who's just like Chewbacca on steroids, just unbelievable.
This does sound like they've literally gone Han Solo, but
they've taken a lot of elements and a lot of inspiration from other characters and stuff to kind of build Dr. Aphra. But she's just, I think she's fascinating and really, really fun and cool.
I like Dr. Aphra. I don't like the team though, because it is a little bit, when you describe them all, it's like She's like Han Solo with attitude. And he's like C-3PO with attitude. And then R2-D2 unit, attitude.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if you thought Chewbacca had an attitude, attitude.
Yeah. Chewie's always drinking Monster Energy drinks because he doesn't give a fuck. C-3PO's on a dirt bike. Just brr, fuck you. R2-D2's got a leather belt.
Yeah, yeah.
And leather belt.
Because he couldn't wear a jacket. I was started to picture a jacket, but it'd just slide off of him. So it'd have to be a belt.
I love that. Your height of being a badass.
Like, leather belt, baby.
Oh, man, I gave him more money. He had a leather belt.
Yeah. He must have spent $9 at Target.
I think that's fair. I respectfully disagree. But it's not that's almost not what I love about it, though. Like, when I really, like, clicked into, I'm like, this shit is the fucking best. Because I don't know, my brain just explodes with this stuff. And I know it's super simple, but at the time I was just like, oh my God. You're reading the first issue. I read the first issue and I'm like, that was good.
I was thinking you were going to say, my brain exploded this stuff. Like, they've drawn pictures and the people are saying words in it. It's like every part, it's like a movie, but in a book.
It's reading, but it's real easy. but now they're like, you read the first issue and I was like, the first issue was good. And I was like, maybe I'll buy the second issue. I'll say I'll buy it. And then I bought it. And I was like, all right, this has got to be good to keep me hooked. And then you're just going through and they're looking for something. And they're searching the sort of Star Wars galaxy for what it is. And then on the final page of the second issue, you flip it over. And they've found where they need to go. And you don't know this until you flip the page. Spoilers. They're on Yavin 4 and they're looking at the Rebel base.
Right.
And it's right and it's all happening as, like, the Rebels sort of building their team, and it just ties straight into, like, you don't know where you are kind of exactly in the Star Wars universe, and then, boom, you're just, like, in fucking A New Hope,
yeah,
just from a different perspective. And that, I thought, was phenomenal.
When they're looking, so they're looking through the bushes to Yavin, to the base.
Yeah, yeah, okay. The temple.
All right. Did one of the characters point out and go, oh, look, there's another fat character? No. Hawkins waves back.
Hello.
I'm going to die soon, guys.
Unfortunately not.
Okay. Bummer. Bummer. What about background characters? Who are you feeling, Adam?
Again, with the video game thing, I played a lot of the episode one pod racing game on the 64. And every single one of their... All of the pod races I liked. I feel like they put a lot of... I liked that they all had different pods, which was so fucking stupid. Like, there's no... imagine any race where all of the cars were different.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a mad, 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 mad world. It's just, like, I like that some of them had four engines, some of them had two.
Yeah, what defines...
It's not that different, but...
Like, what defines a pod to, like, just jumping in an X-Wing and going, yeah, this
exactly.
is my X-Pod.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like that sport has very few rules. And I think that's what drew me to it. And yeah, I liked all of I've always liked the sound design, especially in the Star Wars movies, of all the alien noises. They're always great. So every alien with a funny noise, I'm not gonna try and do any other.
Why
like
not?
An idiot.
No, go.
Whatever. I lost it. I lost it. I can't do
anything.
Lady.
Anything
I can't do Star Wars noises, but yeah, that's my favorite. I like not any one particular background character, but all of them and the universe they create.
Nice.
That's so
beautiful.
All
of my answers have been so vague and broad. I watched Star Wars at some point during my childhood. Continue.
I like it. What about you, Mark? Who do you like?
I always liked Watto because I felt like he represented... He's the only WOG character. he's a real tight ass and he's got a pretty thick... I guess it's Italian accent, I don't know. But he always appealed to me because I was like, that's my family. Which is a fucked up thing to say, but it's true.
Do you now wish you had the little wings?
The little, yeah, like, and I love his little elephant nose, his little pop belly.
I was about to say, the round tummy does it for me.
Yeah, he's a bit fat.
Yep, I like him too.
There's heaps of fats in Star Wars.
There's four so far. There's like 50 other characters than that. Exactly.
Good counting. What about, do you think Max Rebo, you know, the blue elephant that plays piano?
Yeah, the puppet.
Yeah. how, like, in his species, how do you think he's, like, fit or he's let himself go?
He's an elephant. They're all, elephants are all, he's pretty small for an elephant. He's doing pretty good. He's on two legs.
So you think he's anorexic, maybe?
I think he's a dwarf, potentially. I don't know.
I don't, do you reckon he's a good musician as well? Like in the start, like, do you reckon Jabba's Palace has good musicians? Because I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, they've shown, there's been the band in the cantina and the band in Jabba's Palace. Was there a band in that fucking place in Force Awakens?
Yeah. Yeah. But you think it seemed very much.
They must all be quite bad pump rock bands, right? I want to see like a really good stadium selling Star Wars band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what are they? Yeah, because these are all guys who are, they've taken a sort of gig because it hasn't really worked out for
them. The ones in Jabba's
Place. They've
got
a residency.
Yeah, they would have been drug addicts, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. They would have been paying off a debt.
On the spice, you reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon on a bit of the spice. Because you don't end up working.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't end up playing keys at Jabba's Palace if you've flown the straight and narrow. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but what about in The Godfather, how they got that guy to sing at the wedding who was like...
Oh, so you reckon it's either a kidnapping sort of a situation or like coercion.
Like, yeah, so like Jabba, like, you know, helped them out back in
the day. But they don't even flip out when the door opens. And so they've been there a while.
Well, they just know not to sell it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Either way, I don't think they're the top of the top. So I want to see in just a gratuitous musical segment in the middle of The Last Jedi where they're like,
"Yeah, that's what Star Wars
now. Rey, your training's complete, baby."
I think there is one. I think there is one. People go to see a big musical act in Star Wars. It's the floating fucking orbs in Episode 3.
Oh, that's true, but that's like classical. But like that, it's like an opera.
You don't know that.
It's
that
an
could
opera.
Be rock and roll.
And also, they're swimming in and out of a ball. I reckon that's like a whole Cirque du Soleil thing. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I always found that very confusing. I couldn't concentrate on what was going on. It's like, that's like the moment where like Anakin's turning and I'm just like, why is there a big eye?
There's heaps of water in the middle of the room.
It's like a whole gas water thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. It was a very strange choice.
That's Cirque du Soleil, baby. But like that it's, yeah, I want to see, you know, Justin Bieblorp. I would love for them to just do something fucked like that because I just love seeing a mess happen. And so if they, you know how like in Game of Thrones I had Ed Sheeran show up and I was like, that looks like Ed Sheeran, not a peasant or whatever, you know. I want to see them go like, well, turns out Katy Perry's a big Star Wars fan, so here she is, K-Tor Perrin. And she's doing fucking, I can't think of a Star Wars word that rhymes with hot and cold. But whatever that would be, edited in later.
Hopefully it's the name of the fifth fat guy in the movie.
Yeah.
Just for irony's
sake. Get another one in.
What about favourite parts? What are your favourite scenes?
Favourite scenes? Well, I do love that. I mentioned it before. The Luke Skywalker Darth Vader fight in Return of the Jedi is phenomenal.
It's something.
It's unbelievable. It's just raw passion. He's just going out. That's why I much preferred the lightsaber fight in that movie and in Empire to the prequel fights because it's just like, it's just raw power and emotion.
Yeah.
As opposed to backflippies and stuff.
And when you're a little kid, you couldn't believe it's like, oh my god, this is it. One of them's not making out.
He's mad. Luke's mad. He was mad. Wasn't he mad?
As in angry or crazy?
He was mad.
Yeah, okay. I think he was probably pretty mad.
Would you say he was mad?
Oh, he had feelings of frustration.
He was mad.
Yeah.
I thought he was mad. Was he not mad?
Sure, he seemed a bit mad.
Great. That's all I'm saying. So I love that. And I also love the Rey Kylo fight in Force Awakens for the same reason, because I feel like they took a step back and they went, let's get back to that.
Was there enough madness in that section, though?
Yeah, Kylo was mad Kylo in that. I thought mad. He was mad in that.
He was punching his chest.
Did you think he was mad? He was mad. It was like someone shot him. Yeah. He was pissed off, man.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was mad. Was he not mad? Am I wrong?
He seemed pretty mad to me.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was pretty mad. He was mad. He was hitting himself. He was mad at everything. Yeah. Killed his dad. Yeah. Spoilers. He was mad. I'd be mad. Am I wrong? I don't know. That's just me. What are your favorite mad scenes in Star Wars?
I just realized that how white trash it is for Kylo to go back to like Snoke at the end and go, oh, what happened on the side there? And like, oh, my uncle shot me.
That's very true.
I like the ending of Rogue One. That whole bit is really cool. Because that was like the strongest of those, like, it did a good job, and I didn't get this from The Force Awakens, of showing me a Star Wars thing that I'd kind of wanted to see for a long time. And seeing Vader actually do something dangerous, because I never felt that with the Empire Strikes Back fight. I never really felt like anyone was in danger. I don't know why.
What about Luke?
He seemed fine. They both seemed pretty calm to me.
I always thought Vader was just like fucking with Luke.
Yeah, right.
That's how I always saw that scene. That's why I quite like it, because Luke's just like trying to keep up. Yeah. He's pretty mad. And Vader's just like, yeah, just toying with him.
Yeah. Eh. But I like seeing Vader. I'd like to just seeing him.
It's the best 10 minutes of any Star Wars movie ever. Yeah. I don't even think it's 10 minutes. It's like less than that. It's like two.
Way less.
Yeah. Way less. But it's the best.
It was so well done. Like, whoever was the actor inside of that suit did a perfect job of moving in exactly the right way.
No one makes Vader move good, man. That's what I'm really liking about the. There's a new Darth Vader series, Star Wars comic series at the moment that takes place like right after he wakes up as Vader, and it's all about him getting his lightsaber. Because the whole thing is that a Sith doesn't build his lightsaber; a Sith steals his lightsaber.
Right.
Kills a Jedi, takes it, and then it turns red through magic. I don't know. Something. I'm sure it'll be explained. I haven't read the new issue.
Sounds like the lightsaber gets mad.
It does. Madness is a big part of the Sith way. It's a whole chapter in the book. I don't know. But the way they make Vader move in that in the book is I know it's still pictures. I'm aware of this.
I
know you were. I saw it in your eyes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna fucking get him.
He's made one logical error that he hasn't noticed, and I'm gonna pounce.
Yeah, but that's what I like about those two. Yeah, Vader moving is really important.
Yeah,
people fuck it up a lot.
Yeah, well, like at the end of Revenge of the Sith, that was a big part of that. Like him going no and whatever, but he got on his knees weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He moved a little weird when he stood up, because he went like, a Frankenstein came out of that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because that was Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, and didn't he like beg to be in it?
Yeah.
When they're going to use someone else, he's like, no, please make all of this worth it for me because I'm not getting any work after this. So.
Did you hear he just broke up with Rachel Bilson?
Oh, did he really?
No. Very upsetting this week.
I didn't even know they were together. No. So that's come as a huge shock to me.
Yeah.
Massive.
Very sad.
Yeah.
They met on the set of Looper.
Oh, really?
Not Looper, Jumper.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say he had a very small part in Looper.
I was about to say, was he in Looper? But I could also equally say, was he in Jumper?
It's Jumper, yeah. Jumper's the right thing. Yep, all right, good.
What's that about? Is that like a Sliders?
Sort of, yeah. It's, I don't know. You can jump.
You can jump quite high, can't
he? No, you can jump through portals into other places, I think.
That's, sounds like Sliders.
Yeah, that's Sliders.
You seen Sliders?
I've eaten them.
That is a really good quip.
Thanks. I think so. Was that... They have the guy from Stand By
Jerry
Me.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
And it was about What do they do? They did slides.
They're trying to get he was a scientist and he built a remote control that could make you go to another world, but they went to the wrong one and were trying to find their way back.
It's like alternate universes.
Yeah, but all of them had like the same villain in them, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I've never seen it. I've read the back of a DVD once and went, nah.
Not for you.
Yeah.
I have seen it. And I'd like to leave it there if I could.
The Steel Wars media empire is expanding with the premiere this week of the Steel Wars Update YouTube show. Each week, I will break down the major news stories of the week with plenty of humor and opinion on the Steel Wars Update. I would love to have your support for the premiere of the pilot episode at youtube.com/Steel Wars. And while you wait for the pilot to be uploaded, there's plenty of super fun content, including cast interviews and enhanced podcast highlights. The link is in the show notes, or you can subscribe at youtube.com/Steel Wars.
Noxie, with all the video games you played, what's your favorite Star Wars cutscene?
Oh, okay. Again, I like the endings of things. I like the ending of Knights of the Old Republic because it did the bop, 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 that, you know, the trumpet bit. And that is the most important Star Wars thing to me. Mm. You know what I mean? And every movie has a slightly different one. And genuinely, my liking of each of the films corresponds exactly to how well done that is.
Explain.
Empire Strikes Back has the best one because it ends with like the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba and it all swells up as they fly away and then it does a really good...
Oh, so you mean just before the credits?
Just as they come in. Okay. As it circle whatever's up. And then...
That is good where they're looking out the window.
It's the best ending of them. It goes Empire Strikes Back, Rogue One, and then I suppose it would go...
I really like... Well, I mean, when I first saw it anyway, I really liked Revenge of the Sith, the way Revenge of the Sith...
It ends well. It ends strong with the looking over the Tatooine little...
Yeah, and it's like, and you go, oh, and Obi-Wan's been looking over him all the time.
Oh, these were prequels?
Yeah.
What?
It was there before?
This was in Star Wars.
I love that moment.
Yeah.
I thought it was... When it clicked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought they'd stolen a lot.
I know some of these names. This is weird.
Anyway, and then there's the rest of a list. I'm not going to list all of them, but they correspond exactly. And the ending of Knights of the Old Republic, you stand it like, because it's a long-ass fucking thing.
That was like the Gilligan's Island theme song. The Professor and the rest.
Well, those are the, yeah. The reason is because that songwriter would have gone, ugh, and gotten bored of it halfway through like me. But so that the ending of that where it did the proper Star Wars ending, it was the first time it had looked close to the movies, sort of, you know what I mean? Mm. Other games had ended like that before as well, but they always had the digital fucking ding, 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 and ugh.
Wow. What's the best Star Wars game of all time, do you think?
Level 2 of the one that Mark can't finish is probably
you dirty dog.
How shocked were you when Dr. Aphra popped up in that bit?
Oh man, it's crazy. It's so weird, and then it's like 40 hours of Dr. Aphra. It's probably Knights of the Old Republic. That's like a good old... Because they did with that, they did a smart thing of setting it like 2,000 years or something before normal Star Wars, which gave them free reign to do whatever they want. So it's this big-ass story.
Is it the only game that you've played?
No.
Sounds like it.
All right, mate. Fuck you. I'm gonna finish a list here. And I've played...
Oh, fuck, man. You've made him wish shit.
I'm feeling a little, I don't know the word for it, but it's like angry, but it's like a shorter word. No, I played a bunch of them, but that's the, I haven't.
It must be good. That's one I never played. I never got to play, but it's good. Very good.
It's good. Yeah. I never played the second one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really liked the first one, then never played the second.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fuck it, man.
Yeah, you don't need that in your life. You play by your own rules.
Yeah.
What?
You're like a Han Solo.
I'm exactly like him.
Yeah.
You know how Han Solo's always like bumbling around, drinking a beer at 2 p.m. on a Saturday.
What is your favorite video game of all time?
I don't know. Pac-Man, fuck off. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Is that a bad video game question to ask?
No, I don't think so. It's hard to answer because lots of things are different. Like I nearly went to you. Like, I don't know. What's your favorite movie of all time? But I probably can get. But there's lots of good ones. I don't want to offend any video games by not picking them. Deus Ex is good. Red Dead Redemption is very fun.
I'm beginning to lean towards Mark's "you've only played one video game" theory.
I really.
Yeah, you're not making your case very strong here, man.
Well, because no one wants to hear me talk about 10 different video games I like.
Oh, I'd like to. Have
Do you? probably Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic is my favorite.
All right. We've got some time. If anyone's got audience questions, if anyone wants to belt up, have you got... All right, go for it.
Oh, yes.
Okay, since, you know, we're not going to be able to see you very often still, now that you're not here, last chance to sort of do a song, I guess.
Are you sick? Oh, you're going to LA. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, it's not from here, so yeah. Anymore. Oh, well. So this is just a short song about episode 8. And here we go. Episode 8 is gonna be great. I'll be at the midnight screening with all of my mates. I'm curious about the Jedi's fate. And if R2-D2 will be awake. It's the last time we'll see Leia on the screen. Will Luke Skywalker ignite the green?
Oh.
I can't wait to see Rey get trained on an island far away in the rain. I can't wait to see Finn and Poe. And who is this character named Rose? Benicio del Toro will be in it, I suppose. And what type of sound will the Pogs make? Who knows?
I know, I got the toy.
Yeah. But I wrote it before when we didn't know what it was.
Okay, fair enough.
No spoilers, please. I want to enjoy the movie at the midnight screening with the other fans. I have no other plans.
Yay! Yeah.
Great question. I reckon I'm involved in answer truthfully. I think that was beautiful. Thank you so much, sir.
Actually, my question was, can I sing a song? But okay. I didn't actually ask it, so.
No, you didn't.
Okay. No.
You're lucky you didn't get the answer as well. Was that to the tune of a different song, or was that an original composition?
Yeah, I made the tune up in my head too.
Good.
Yeah.
For podcasting laws as well. Yeah, you had that. You now own this podcast, I believe.
Mm.
Wow. Has anyone at one of your Filthy Casual podcasts ever, you know, dropped a rhyme about Mario or anything like that?
No, we've got a lot of real sane listeners. No one's ever cared enough to do that, so I'm a little fucking furious now, a little bit jealous. A little bit, what's the word? Not furious.
It's kind of like, I don't know. Oh.
It's like really bothered.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like, I got nothing, man. I'm coming up empty here. We'll think of it.
Grumpy?
It's like grumpy, but it's not grumpy.
Okay.
It's a synonym for grumpy.
Yeah. Three letters. Last letter, D. It's dad.
It's thinking dad.
Luke Skywalker was feeling quite dad at the end of Return of the Jedi. He's very concerned. Anyone else, you don't have to sing a song.
No, you do. Sing
a
question.
Yeah, the bar has been set.
Yeah.
Hey, Darren, how are you?
No, I'm not singing. There is another fat person in the Force Awakens in the...
Hey, mate. Who the fuck are you to weight shame people in another galaxy, right?
There's no shaming. This is no shame. And I do. He's sitting down and he's got, and like the assassin woman is with him.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're right, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, in the Force Awakens, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
in their version of the canteen.
In the bar.
Yeah, again, I'd have to query that species.
Who's fat shaming now?
No, but you can.
No, just like. I just think that's... I don't know if he's fat or
he
not.
Is, because the way he's sitting is a fat guy pose. I sit like that as well, just going like, I've made my peace with it. and yeah.
Maybe it's more about me than anyone. I was always impressed that he did have that hot chick. Like, I was like, he must have some personality.
But then she's got a robot voice, so it kind of... I'm just saying, like, you know, they're made for each other, maybe.
You know that old equation. Fat guy, robot voice.
Gotcha.
I don't even know what I was trying to say.
Well remembered.
There.
I do have a question, though. That was just
okay. Oh, great.
You guys mentioned you had collectibles. Tell us about the collectibles you have.
My favorite thing that I bought recently was where I went, I might have a problem. And his name's completely left me. The guy who did the original concept art for
Ralph Macquarie.
Ralph Macquarie concept art action figures, right? So I've got a Luke, the image of Luke Skywalker, one of the first images of Luke Skywalker, and he's got a lightsaber and he's wearing like the gas mask, and then he's up against Vader and it's kind of like from behind. So I've got him and Vader in action figures, and I just screamed when I saw them.
What positions do you put them in?
What positions do I put them in? They're on top of my fridge with all the rest of my Star Wars toys. And Vader looks real badass at the moment because he's got a gun as well, which is pretty out there. His lightsaber's blue, and his cape just stands like real badass, and his cape like comes out and flows, and I didn't do that on purpose. I don't know how it happened, but it gets me off. Every time I go to get a yogurt now, I'm like, oh, I'm barring up.
Double yogurt.
Yeah.
I was always a very vehicle boy. I liked all the X-Wings and TIE Fighters, and had a Death Star at one point, and then it broke, and I got a second one, which is sensible to do.
He's back.
But yeah, it was always... That implies I left for a while. That's always been my thing.
Yeah, this is one of the worst things that's ever happened to me, which is why, you know, I've had a fine life. When I was like 17, my dad gave... I had like three boxes of Star Wars toys that I'd been collecting for years. I had so much great stuff. I had like TIE Fighter, and I had a Skyhopper, and I had like so much stuff. And my dad just gave it away to some other kid. And he's like, don't worry, I'm just lending it to him. And I was 17, so I was like, I should let go of toys, but I didn't want to. But I felt stupid because dad was like, come on, like, you're 17 now, like, grow up. And I'm like, oh, all right. Then he gave, and he was like, they're just on loan. And then the parents just got up and moved. And didn't tell anyone. And they took all my toys. Ooh,
what a long con.
And yeah. It's a weird thing. It still destroys me.
So you got daddy issues.
Massively. Yeah. I can't bring it up with him anymore because he knows now. Like anytime I bring it up, he's like, he gets real sad. He's like, I'm real sorry I did that, man. It took like 10 years to make him like get that was a fucked up thing to do.
My mother did the same with my Lego collection and came back with about a dollar out of a huge Lego collection. So I was really... Yeah,
that's just,
I know your pain.
That's just fiscally irresponsible as well. Like, she's she could have gotten more.
Yeah. But that's my dream, is to get super rich one day and then walk into like the
and hire an assassin and kill
my dad. But like to just have enough money to go in, because I remember everything that I had. Like when I see a like wall of Star Wars, like old Star Wars toys, it was mostly the Power of the Force stuff that I had. I know exactly what I had, and I want to have enough money to be able to walk into a place one day and just get everything that I had. I don't know why. I always think about that.
Yep. You're going to whisper like Citizen Kane, so Rosebud, before he dies.
Skyhopper.
Yeah, ATSD.
Anyway.
The and it's Mel Starrin?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Now, did anyone else find it weird that you keep your collection on top of a fridge? It doesn't seem it's like because, the safest place.
It's because I live with my girlfriend. And she'll get mad if it's anywhere else. Because the fridge is in a cupboard. So I get to open the cupboard, enjoy my life, and then put it away and keep my girlfriend. Both those things are important to me. Our relationship is about compromise. And so I'm willing to compromise.
Do you ever find yourself eating more than you should just so you've got another excuse to go back to the fridge?
Sometimes I just stay in the fridge. Just to get away from her, am I right?
My bloody man cave.
Nah, she's great. I love you, Naomi. Thanks for coming. She's here.
Well, compared to your dad, she's awesome.
Dad's a fucking dog. Makes me sick. He's all right. He's getting married.
Is he?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I got a new mum. The alt one's rubbish, so this is great. She's not listening. It's fine.
So I've never had my parents get married. They did that before I rocked up.
Mm.
Does the child get to give a speech at the wedding?
I have no idea. I don't know what this wedding's going to be like. This is an over 60s wedding. Oh, okay. I've never been to an over 60s wedding.
It would be a ripping chance to bring those figures back up.
It would. It would just upset him, though. Mm. It's great how much it upsets him. Like, just that I got through to him, you know?
Do you think... do you think that it's like... that it's that he upset you that upsets him? Or do you think it's him going... Oh, he fucking really cared about them and he was 17. I fucking tried to beat it out of him, but it didn't come out. He's going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to get married and try again.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Hey, man, I don't live in the fridge. I live in the real world.
Yeah. You keep all your toys out.
Yeah. I keep all my toys out and every day I punch them. Because I'm angry about the
old
world.
Old single Noxie puts his toys wherever he wants.
Yeah, man. I don't even have anything these days. I've tried to declutter my life.
Yeah.
And so it means that I live like a serial killer with just no posters or fun things anywhere.
Yeah, and just sort of glad wrap all over your walls.
Yeah. You've got to keep the clutter out, man.
Come in. That's all good.
Come in. Lie on the table. Take a load off. Don't worry about it. But yeah, so because you can do everything digitally now. Look at pictures, I mean.
Oh.
Of things that you could hold physically.
Yeah, right.
There's no sense.
You don't get
in that.
No thrill out of buying physical.
I'm not that attached to the physical world. That sounds way more.
You're quite spiritual.
I don't want to be uploaded into a computer or like I'm not a Maharishi or whatever, but I just, you know, I've never been a big fan of holding stuff. I'm not going to take it with you when you're gone, are you? It's fine. I would have been a terrible pharaoh.
Excellent. Now, as we wrap up, we always like to find out. We've got endless Star Wars.
Like, oh, my girlfriend just held up her iPad and she wrote Darth Vader PS4 because she bought me a Darth Vader PS4 for Christmas one year. So, thanks.
What an aggressively loving relationship.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, she did buy me a Darth Vader PS4 with Battlefront and that was pretty good. So, cheers. Appreciate it. What do you want from me, man? What do you want?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was exaggerating for the comedy.
Okay.
You fixed it, Mark. Well done. That.
Is it hard to play it on top of the fridge, though?
It's just not plugged in. It's just sort of sitting there. That's the thing. She won't let me plug it in. I'm in hell! She's... Nah, she's great.
Oh my god. So yeah, we've got endless Star Wars films to the end of time. We've got a few films scheduled for release that we've
Oh yeah.
About. But we always like to know before we leave, what are you most hoping for or looking forward to in Star Wars?
I really have very high hopes for The Last Jedi. I think it's going to be, you know, pretty good. I hope it will be anyway. But I'd love to know what they're going to do after this in terms of canon trilogy sort of films. I just have zero idea where it's going to go and where they're going to take it. Like, if it'll just keep continuing with Rey and follow that, or if they'll go somewhere else. I have no idea. And I'm excited to find out just what that's going to be.
Yeah, I so hope they do either go forward or go across or go way back instead of just filling in all the gaps. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like Rogue One, it does finish 5 minutes before. Like, it's so... Like, I just go off. Yeah. Do something.
Mm.
You know? Mm. And we got Mendo, so that's one thing.
That's true. I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Mendo is?
What's Mendo?
It's Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, of course. Hmm. I don't call him Mendo. I call him Ben Mendelsohn because that's his name. I guess you might know him better than me.
I'm trying to.
He was great, but his playable character in Battlefront was rubbish. It was rubbish.
Yeah, played other Star Wars video games, so I know that.
So you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I 100% have. My life isn't a lie.
Not a movie, but Battlefront 2, I'm packing my pants.
But there's a story mode in that could be equated to a movie,
which is what I'm super super excited for. That's already that's already got some of my favorite cutscenes.
That is
video
doing
games.
Another. Interlink sort of like, we need to know what happened with every second of the Star Wars that where it's like...
But it's an interesting
it is. It's
place.
You play as like the Empire just after the second Death Star blew up.
Yeah, as like an Imperial officer. I just think that sounds... To see it from their side and stuff, and I'm super excited for that.
Yeah.
Nice. Adam, what are you looking forward to, buddy?
I honestly would love to see prequel remakes. I don't think that is something that people would give a shit about.
I really think
that the story there has a lot of potential to be cooler than it was done. And I would love. I also would love the thing of them just going like, "Fuck you, George. We're doing this again." You
I don't know. That's my problem. Is I don't know if they'll ever be allowed.
If legally they're allowed to.
Well,
do
just
it or
no,
not,
but just like morally, if they'll ever go, if they'll ever say as big of a fuck
make
you.
Make one new movie that's all of them, like that thing that Tobey Maguire did. I always wanted to see Spider-Man 2, and when he cut the films together.
Oh,
apparently
yeah.
Everyone.
Was it Tobey Maguire that did that?
Apparently it was Tobey Maguire. Topher Grace. They're definitely... You could see how that happened, though.
Really? He cut all three Spider-Mans together?
And everyone who saw it said it was... Everyone who saw that thing said it was great, and I would love them to be just one better done...
When you said Tobey Maguire, I was like, I always thought it was someone that would seem like they had more time on their hands. Yes, nailed it. I don't think they'll ever do that because, and I hope they won't. I'd rather just go off, go make.
Just
go make another but story. That one's done.
They almost definitely. I can't imagine them brave enough.
No, I think that takes such a stand. That just goes, these were shit.
But yeah,
and I don't think they'll ever do that, unfortunately, because I do think I would love to see the story of Anakin to Vader reinterpreted.
And I like a lot of stuff about the way it suggests the galaxy was and around that time, but it doesn't really go into.
I just want it to look like the old movies, because that's like I said, that was one thing that I fell in love with was the look, and there was one thing even as a kid that I never loved about the prequels was that it looked a bit Star Trek-y to me, like at times, like all the Naboo stuff, like the really clean,
shiny and
that was like, and I know, like, oh, what the fuck do I know? I didn't make Star Wars, so fuck me. But like that for me was never. I always loved that junkyard, you know, ragamuffin put together aesthetic.
But I like the turn, and the people have talked about this before. But the fact that it turned and it looked junkyard because it was these two groups of people who were making shit out of nothing. Like, the Empire was making too much stuff, and then the Rebels were like, oh, I don't know, we've got a fucking shoebox, I guess I'll fly that. And it, like, they...
Yeah, but then I didn't see that. The movies didn't show that, I thought.
In the
original. That's the thing that you said you liked.
What?
In the original trilogy.
I thought you said in the... I thought you were talking...
You are making me mad.
That's the word.
That's... Oh, that's it.
Sorry, I thought you were saying in the
in the prequels, it was before that, and it was this height of decadence, fall of Rome sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I like that. Yeah,
the because there is that in universe reason that there was before the war, and Naboo was a rich, peaceful, artistic. But that's why all the ships look so sweet.
Mm.
But it does, like, so there's an in universe reason. But it just doesn't fit with the, like, the aesthetic of Star Wars that you like.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and but what
it,
I was...
How it changed over the course of that prequel trilogy, I thought was really cool. How the look of the ship sort of started to shift.
Well, that's what I was saying, is I didn't feel that enough. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen
it. So imagine
that
if they remade it, baby.
I know. Ah. I'd be super keen for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, what people love those films.
Mm.
Like, love them. And... If they did something like that, oh my god!
It'll never happen.
That, like, I wouldn't mind just like them announcing it, and then just living that. Like, I always like had this thing when I was little. I was like, oh, how good would it be just to do something, and then it just like reverses back in an hour. Like,
yeah,
you can go back. Like,
it was a murder, right? You were thinking of a murder.
No, it was always, I tell you what it was. It was, I went to a Catholic primary school, and it was always like, I just want to stand up and just yell fuck in the middle of the church.
Yeah, right. Mm.
Like, and just see.
Look at you now.
Yeah. And because I just like, what would happen?
Yeah.
Like, what would be the reaction?
So I used to think the exact same thing with taking a shit, just like walking on a stage and shitting on it. I always thought, like, would someone try to tackle me? Would they, like, try to stop me? Or would they go, that's gross, I'm going to have to wait till he's done before I tackle him? That always made me laugh in my head. But
fuck, man, I thought wanting to swear in a church was weird.
Well, it's just like, it's the one thing I could think of where no one, where it might be a chance no one would interrupt it.
Yeah. I will say, though, great opener at Jabba's Palace.
Yes, that'd be perfect. It'd go through that grating.
This guy's a fucking auteur. I've never seen anything like this before.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, Rancor Keeper, I'll give you something to cry about. Thank you guys so much. You've got great podcasts that are part of the Planet Broadcasting Podcasting Network.
All of our friends.
All hail King Meso. Tell the people where they can find it. And it might have some evidence that you have played more than one video game.
Yeah, it's called Filthy Casuals with Tommy Dasilo, Ben Vanell, and then my name. and you can go to filthycasuals.com.au, I think is the easiest place to, or your podcast player of choice.
Very nice. And if people have come to here to listen to you from the podcast, well, Ben Vanell did an episode as well, so you can go back into the archives. Ooh. I'm just trying to get a bit of plug in on your plug.
No, well done. Double plug it.
It's great. That's networking.
The hottest thing in the world.
I and agree. Mark.
Yes. Oh, hi. Yeah, you could you can check out the Auntie Donna podcast. It's not very good. It's on SoundCloud and Spotify. I just realized you're like filthycasuals.com. It's not even on our website. I should put it on the website.
I don't want to edit you.
Can you put ours on your website?
No, I'll put it on top of the fridge.
Okay. It's where all good things go, in my opinion.
Very nice. And your YouTube channel is amazing.
Oh, yeah, check out the Auntie Donna channel, or just Google search us on the YouTube. Auntie Donna, we do sketches, not about Star Wars, I'm sorry. But we'll...
Get to it.
We'll get to it.
Get to it.
Yeah.
And it was so... I took some Star Wars fan friends, the Gonk Droid that you guys would know from the podcast. I took him to see you in LA.
Oh!
And it's so good to take some... Like, he was like, eh. And I'm like, nah. And then he was like, hey, that was really good. Like, so I felt like I had done well.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for bringing people along.
I'm trying. I'm really... Well, there's not much to do in LA, so...
No, it's a desert town. It's the factory. I hate that fucking stinkhole. It's nice. Oh, it's pretty good. I like LA.
Thank you guys so much, and may that force be with you.
Thank you.
Hey
guys, I hope you enjoyed that really fun episode with Mark and Noxy. Thanks so much to everyone that came along to the live shows while I was in Melbourne. You guys make it hard to leave and very tempting to always come back, which brings me to some very exciting news. It looks as though our Nox premiere for The Last Jedi will be happening. Tickets will be going on sale probably in the next 7 to 14 days. And what I need you to do is to buy early and buy often. If you don't know, you can go back and listen to these old episodes that we've done. But for every film premiere, we have a big midnight screening in Melbourne, Australia, in an 800-seat cinema, giant VMAX screen, alongside Star Walking, the Star Wars Appreciation Society of Australia. And people come from all around the country to join us. It is the best of time. And straight after the premiere wraps up, at about 2:30, we go next door into the Seamus O'Toole Irish Bar and light it up for a huge reaction live podcast with tons of comedians and Star Wars fans, and more often than not, in inverted commas, George Lucas joins us. And we did one for The Force Awakens and Rogue One. They are up to listen to on the free feed, and they are just amazing, joy-filled podcasts. The best of times. So if you want to join us on the 13th of December and you want to make sure that I can afford to fly home to host this premiere, keep an eye out for the ticket information. I'll be tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming and podcasting about it. You can follow me at Steel Wars on all those mediums. Now, our Force Awakens one totally sold out. The Rogue One, we could have fitted a few more people in, but we will be offering tickets first through the Patreon page to make sure those that support us year-round get their head in both for the movie and premiere, and if they need, the bus from the city to Knox and back. And I know people have had awesome times on the buses previously, making friends, making podcasts, and all that great stuff. But yes, we will be offering the tickets first through the Patreon, which if you'd like to join us there, I'm putting up so much bonus content. I was going for 30 pieces of content in 30 days. I think I'm not going to make the 30 days, but I might make 30 pieces of content in 32 or 33 days. I should point out on both the Patreon and the normal feed, there is a new Struthers Wars up where Eric Struthers, who edits a lot of the podcasts for us and hosts the Bad Motivators podcast, he interviews a Steel Wars Patreon supporter about their favorite Steel Wars moments, intersperses it with a few best of clips, and talks about their Star Wars fandom, and it's a really good time. It's fun for me to listen to, I can tell you that much, and I know we've had a really good response to that from the listenership. And if you want to hear the full episodes from those best of clips, they are all on the Patreon page. It's just $3 a month. You get regular bonus eps like the Q&As, the Making Steel Wars podcast, and Gonk and Steel's Trash Compactor. You get the extended bonus sections of the Call-In Show and full access to the full length of every Steel Wars episode we've ever done, which is over 300 podcasts, which sounds like a lot. As well as that, your $3 goes to supporting the ongoing production of the podcast every week. The Steel Wars merch store, which you can find at steelwars.com, has a limited amount of our Porg band lineup t-shirt left. So you can check that, as well as the Your Snoke Theory Sucks, Omre's Parents, and all that good stuff at steelwars.com. If you are after some comedy podcasting, my other podcast, I Love Green Guide Letters, where we review the complaint letters to the TV Guide in Melbourne, Australia. We recorded two live podcasts while I was in Melbourne directly after the Steel Wars shows, and they are both hilarious. You've got some previous Steel Wars guests like Tom Ballard, Demi Lardner, and Ash Williams in the mix. I was very happy with how those turned out, so check those out at ilovegreengardletters.com or on iTunes or wherever good podcasts are downloaded. I was also on, God, I've been doing a lot of stuff. I was on Geek Dudes podcast. That is a general pop culture comic book movie podcast. Not safe for work, but we recorded a epic episode into the early hours. You can search for that Geek Dudes on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. And I'm also on the new episode of Making Star Wars' Rebel Girl podcast with my buddies Tracy Gardner and Amanda Ward. And of course, Rebel Girl is part of the Making Star Wars podcast network, as is Steel Wars. And if you want to expand the Star Wars voices in your ears, check it all out at makingstarwars.net, which is the home of the hottest and most credible Star Wars news and rumors from around the world. And I'm very much looking forward to getting back to California next week to be back on Making Star Wars is Now This Is Podcasting with Sal, Randy, and Jason. Don't forget, we are sponsored by Movement Watchers this week. The link is in the show notes. It's mvmt.com/Steel Wars. That gets you 15% off. That gets you free shipping. That gets you free returns. And that gets you top shelf, top quality watches at low prices, as they are able to, they skip the middleman. You know that middleman? What a dick. We've gotten rid of him. He's gone. It's just you and Movement. So check out that link. It is in the show notes. Thank you guys so much. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.